Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. What do you reckon, Ali? Only one place we can start today's show, and that's in Manchester. A 0-0 draw between City and Sporting meant that they are guaranteed a plate. Oh, you've got to love this sport. Absolutely incredible. Real Madrid against PSG as we welcome in Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti. Just a reminder, PSG 1-0 up going into the second leg, and they were cruising. Kylian Mbappe dominating. Absolutely brilliant for the opening hour of this game. He'd score a lovely goal to give them a 2-0 aggregate lead. And honestly, at halftime, if you bet on Real Madrid, congratulations. But most would have called you stupid to have done that because they looked like they had absolutely no chance. But a moment that changed the game, Donnarumma losing the ball. PSG fans and Pochettino wanted a foul on the goalkeeper. It wasn't given. It comes to Vinicius. He finds Benzema. 1-0. And then PSG absolutely collapsed. Benzema got two more goals, PSG couldn't respond, and it's Real Madrid who advance to the quarterfinals against all odds. PSG out, humiliated and embarrassed. Ali, where do we start?
Let's start with the fact that everything that we thought this game was going to be like, it was for the first 16 minutes or so, where Real Madrid, early high pressure. We're going to try to force a mistake. We're trying to score an early goal, get the crowd into it. Here we go. PSG were able to withstand that. They were able to withhold that. And Real Madrid had no choice but to keep coming. Okay. What did that do? Was going to open space for a counterattack. To whom? Kylian Mbappe. Yep. So if you're PSG, you're thinking, exactly, this is what we knew was going to happen. It is going according to plan. We're going into halftime 1-0, 2-0 in the aggregate. Perfect, beautiful, gorgeous. Nothing to see here. We're awesome. And then, how does a team with so many players of so much experience, so expensive, so many successful careers individually on that field, on one moment, just completely, completely fall apart, where there is no structure, there is no organization, there is no leadership, there is no presence, there is nothing but 11 guys running around. And those are the ones that were running around because there were a few that were just walking as well. The level of embarrassment of this particular last 30 minutes of the game for PSG, I think, in some ways, in so many ways, it's even more embarrassing than the comeback by Barcelona years ago. This is a referendum on the individual player and then on the group. On the individual player, because there are some guys out there that the body language said, well, we don't know what's happening out here, and we're not interested in solving it. And then as a team, because of the structure of a group, the last 30 minutes of the game, there was only one team on the field, the definition of a team, and that was Real Madrid. PSG, nowhere to be found. Embarrassing.
Frank, it really was incredible, that capitulation that we saw from the moment they conceded the first goal. The back line just turned into mush. They couldn't control the ball. They couldn't get it out of their own half. Real Madrid all of a sudden had all the pressure. Benzema was brilliant. But how on earth do you explain that from a PSG perspective?
I don't know, Dan. I can't even explain that. I was watching the game, and as Ali said, everything was written for 60 minutes. We had what we expected to watch. Paris Saint-Germain waiting, controlling the game and playing counter-attack and scoring a goal by Kylian Mbappe. And then, as you said, one mistake from the best goalkeeper in the world and everything disappears. They completely switched off and they didn't do anything. And again, as Ali said, if you have a young team and with a lack of experience and you say, okay, didn't know what to do, they collapsed mentally, they weren't prepared to do that, but we have fantastic players, and I have to say the adjective fantastic players, because they proved that all their career long. We couldn't react. We completely disappeared. The three up front, we didn't see. We saw for an hour a fantastic Messi. I think it was absolutely fantastic. Also defensively working, but completely disappeared for half an hour. We lost Mbappe. We lost Neymar. Paredes had to go out because he had a stupid yellow card just at the beginning of the game. And at the back, Even Marquinhos, I couldn't recognize Marquinhos. Even him was made a mistake on the third goal, and nobody was communicating to each other. It was like seeing grown-ups becoming kids, just suddenly, losing all their experience, losing all their mind, not being able to react, which is the worst in the world of football. Because you can have problems that you have to sort out, but okay, you concede a goal, but you're still leading because you won at home. But why do you lose your mind like that? Why you can't be again in control of the game? I don't understand. That club, I don't get it. The Barcelona remontada was a huge shame. I had friends from Paris Saint-Germain texting me, what can we do? I want to burn my shirt. So I'm so upset with that because we're so shameful. I'm not a Paris Saint-Germain fan, but as a French guy, I'm ashamed today. Really, I'm ashamed.
What was striking, we talked about it, I think was it for the second goal? Neymar has the ball up outside Real Madrid's box, gives it away. Luka Modric picks it up, and it's a foot race between 36-year-old Modric and Neymar, and it's not even close.
Right. And it's Luka Modric while dribbling, while having to carry the ball, and Neymar, who should be going at a full sprint to recover the ball because he lost it. He kind of gives it the, I'm running, but I'm never going to get there. It is Luka Modric, by the way, that continues his run because that ball ends up going to Vinicius Jr. Yeah. He cuts the ball back. You think the chance is gone. And it is Modric who gets his head up and then finds Karim Benzema while Neymar is walking in the midway line. He's walking in at midfield. This guy continued his run at 36 years old. He won the ball back. He ran with the ball. He played the ball to Vinicius, got in the ball, played the ball to Benzema. And then you see desire. You see somebody who wants to win and will do anything and everything in order to win. That's Luka Modric. That's a special player. And as talented as Neymar is, when you see those things and you see the outcome of the play, and you see what one guy is willing to do and what another guy who should be part of the leadership of this team out on the field, when you don't see him giving you everything that he has in order to atone for his own mistake. It's not somebody else's mistake. His own mistake. That says a lot about PSG. It says a lot about the club. It says a lot about the individual. It says a lot about the players on the field. Because that's just one example of many over the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, why? Why do we see that, Frank? Why do we see these PSG players not giving as much as the opponents do?
Well, you know, when you have the talent, sometimes it doesn't combine with the strive of working together and the strive of fighting for each other. And some players are so talented that they think that their only duty is to show that talent. Where, as Ali said about Modric, you have to give sometimes more. You have to tackle. Remember that tackle who made Modric against Messi, coming back defensively. Have you ever seen Neymar doing that once? Never. I never seen that since he signed for Paris Saint-Germain. You have to have a warrior mentality at some point. That's what is lacking in Paris Saint-Germain. Yes, the talent is there. Yeah, they are fantastic players, but they don't have that fighting spirit that you need at some point. We see that with all other teams, but I have to say Paris Saint-Germain.
The Messi gamble didn't work, Gab.
Yeah, writ large, it certainly didn't work. I mean, all they have left now is, they're going to win Ligue 1, which they won in years past, not last year, but obviously years before that. This is not why they signed Lionel Messi. And look, I think as the boys were saying, there's different ways to go out. And you obviously need to hold Messi to account because of all the resources you're spending on him. But to have that ending, right, to have Messi and Neymar, two of the greatest players in the world, in Messi's case of all time, to have them unable to show their leadership skills, two guys who captained their country, two of the greatest countries in world football, and to have them not be able to stop the rot after the equalizer, have them not be able to step up, that leaves a massive cloud. And I don't know how you get out from under that. You know, you're always going to have to balance a superstar, and you have to be realistic. You know, other people run for superstars. That's what happens. But there's also moments when superstars have to lead by example. And, you know, what Ali was describing there with Neymar's so-called chase on Luka Modric, I think personally encapsulates what was missing. If Neymar goes at a full sprint, even if he whacks Modric and fouls him, if he doesn't get to him, it gives a jolt, it pushes things on, it changes the whole environment around the game, and that didn't happen.
I remember when Messi signed, we were all sat here, obviously genuinely excited about this prospect of Mbappe, Neymar, and Lionel Messi. We were like, well, look, this is going to be brilliant. For the neutral, this is exactly what you want to see. Three of the best players on the planet, on the same team, working together. Why hasn't it worked?
Well, and that is a question that every PSG fan, and in fact every neutral, would want an answer for. But I have to say, the talent individually of these three players is not in question here. And that is not something that we can argue about, because obviously in the case of Messi, maybe the very best player that we have ever seen out on the field. And whatever Kylian Mbappe ends up becoming, there's so much for him to give. Neymar and his injuries are a different concern. But what really bothers me, because it hasn't worked up until this point, okay, so be it. But you had an opportunity today, right? Yeah. And it's the three of you out there. And I'm not going to lean so heavily on Mbappe, because if there was a player that was dangerous for PSG and that was always a threat for PSG, it was Mbappe. I'm going to lean on Neymar in that he just wasn't very good today. And I'm going to lean on Messi because up until the 60th minute, as Frank alluded to, he had been so very good in dropping underneath into the midfield and combining. And giving that sense of confidence to the team in moments of pressure where Real Madrid were pressuring, he was the one getting on the ball, said, okay, here we go. We can get out of this because of the qualities that I have. And when the team needed these players the most, both Neymar and particularly Messi, he went out to the right-hand side and parked himself towards the line. That is unacceptable. And I'm only talking about this 30 minutes. I'm not talking about the whole picture of Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe and why it hasn't worked. But for this last 30 minutes, when your team is in trouble and you can feel it on the field, you can sense it, it's now your time to say, let me get on this ball. Let me do something that ends up being a game-winning play, because we need a moment here where we need to keep it. We need to hold it. And I can be that guy. And instead, you chose to get yourself out to the right-hand side and park yourself out there hoping to go on a counter. No. The game needed more from Lionel Messi. The game needed more from Neymar. And these guys came up short. And as much as I love Lionel Messi, you saw him walking today the last 30 minutes, and I was pointing it out to you in the screen. It's like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
You need more than just walking around. What I'll go back to answer your question, eventually I'll get around to it. I'll go back to this. This team has had hairline fractures everywhere. Over the course of the season, there's always been something going on, something underlying, something that we don't have access to because we're not there every day. But things that have made this team uncomfortable, whether it's Pochettino's issue, Messi issues, Neymar issues, Mbappe contract conversation, hairline fractures everywhere. And in this stage, you cannot hide. In this stage is where all those hairline fractures become a full-on hemorrhage. And that's what we saw in the last 30 minutes. All those things that have been simmering under the surface, they all came up to the surface. And when it came to the surface, none of these guys were able to respond.
Frank, is it just too simplistic? Gab brought up the fact that obviously these are players who have captained their national teams, Brazil and Argentina, that they just don't care as much about PSG?
I wouldn't say that, because that will say that they're not professional, and I wouldn't say that. I think it's a combination of many things, where normally they have players around around them, working for them, but all of them, 10 players, not only 7 or 8 or 9 players. That's the thing. And going back to your first question to Ali, why it doesn't work? Why with those players it doesn't combine and it doesn't work properly? Go back to the opponent of the day in the early 2000 years where Florentino Perez wanted only megastars. And I think for a couple of years, I would say even more, Real Madrid didn't win anything because he has the talent, but he didn't have the balance. And you can have, and I always say that, look at the four last Champions League winner. You didn't have megastar. You had stars with players playing around them. But those players, Liverpool, Real Madrid, Chelsea, or Bayern Munich, they are a team. They work together. And so I think a megastar is a problem. So having 3 megastars, you have 3 times the problem, I guess.
Go on, Cap.
I don't know if I fully agree that a megastar is a problem. You can do it with 3 megastars. Remember, Messi played with Neymar and Luis Suarez in Barcelona, and they were pretty good. The thing is, you need to have the right ethos in your team, and it has to come from the top. Tonight, I own more than one television, so I was keeping an eye on Manchester City, and this is a team filled with stars. And yet, they go and they fight for every ball. Even tonight, they're 5-0 in the first leg. They weren't mailing it in. They were fighting, they were trying. You have to have that ethos. I think back to Paris Saint-Germain in Ligue 1 this season, and it's because they have a big league and a big lead, rather, and everybody else is kind of behind them. I can think of very few of what you would call 90-minute performances from Paris Saint-Germain this year, regardless of whether they have the M&M front line on the pitch or not. It's more like they go a goal down, and then they react, and then they storm back, and they win or they draw. It's when that's missing, when you don't have that continuity, you don't have that cohesion. It's very difficult, I think, to turn it on. For a Champions League game, especially at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid, against a guy who's, I don't think anybody's won more Champions League titles than the Real Madrid manager has. And we can all point out Paris Saint-Germain's failings, but I think we should also give a little bit of credit to Real Madrid tonight.
I promise, Real Madrid fans, we will talk about you. Yep. I just want to talk about one thing that we've missed, and PSG fans and Pochettino, and we know the PSG owners have all come out and complained about the officials for this game and about that opening goal and the foul on Donnarumma from Benzema that was not called. Do they have a point, Frank?
Yes, but the mistake is so big so that you don't know if you can give him a free kick. Yes, there is a charge from Benzema, and Benzema doesn't get the ball. Yes, you could have given a free kick to Donnarumma. Yes, it's a question mark. If you're a Paris Saint-Germain fan, you will say, yeah, it's a foul. If you're a Real Madrid fan, say, of course not, there is nothing. I don't know. You can be the judge. I'm sure that in England it would never be whistled, and maybe in Italy or in France or Spain it would be. So I don't know. I would say no for me. It's a light charge, not big enough to give a free kick, but I can understand that some people are complaining.
What's interesting about that is that just from a neutral's point of view, a football fan who watched the game, it's difficult to put all your eggs in that basket from an outsider looking in, because you think, well, even if it wasn't a mistake from the officials, what happened after that shouldn't happen to a proper team.
Correct. And that you just said there, Dan, you don't always get it right.
Well, Stevie's been on the phone to remind me of that.
that you just said there, a proper team, the word team, right? And in order to be a team, you have to be organized, you have to have structure, you have to have defined roles for players. And when things go wrong, as undoubtedly they will every once in a while on the field, you know exactly what is the shape that we fall into, what is the principles of a group that we have to be able to carry out with some consistency in order to protect ourselves. Look, it's a high stress situation. What is it that we can call home? What is it that makes us feel comfortable? What is the security blanket that we put on and we feel comfortable as a team, as a group? There is none of that for PSG. There is no security blanket. There is no shape. There is no organization. It's individuals. And as it is the case, when individuals or with individuals at any point that things get uncomfortable, what do individuals do? Their own thing. They separate. They go in all sorts of different directions instead of coming together. And that is the key for PSG. They have never become a team. There is no balance. There is no structure. There is no organization. But you saw that from Real Madrid. How emotionally charged were Real Madrid once they got that first goal, and how they said, we got a chance in this. Let's go. Let's get this together. Let's be as a group together, and we're going to press together, and we're going to get to the second pressure, and we're going to get to the third pressure, and we're going to win the ball, and we're going to go together forward, and we're going to go score these goals because we believe in what we're doing. PSG has no belief in whatever they're doing, and that was evident, very clear to see.
Who would have thought that we've been doing this for 20 minutes, and we're only now really talking about Kylian Mbappe and his future,
Dan,
and his showing over the two legs. Frank, you were adamant. You were saying if you were Kylian Mbappe before this game, that you would stay at PSG because you got more chance of winning the Champions League at PSG than you would at Real Madrid going forward. Has tonight changed your mind?
I would say a little bit, but I will stay at Paris Saint-Germain because what I saw for 90 minutes at the Parc des Princes and an hour at Santiago Bernabeu from Real Madrid couldn't convince me that Real Madrid is better than Paris Saint-Germain and can win the Champions League. So it's a big question. It's a question of dream. And if he dreams about going to Santiago Bernabeu, well, it's fine by me and he could go. But I said before that two ties that none of the two clubs will win the Champions League. And I still think that none of them was going to win the Champions League because comparing to many other clubs, you know, they're really weaker in many ways. Can I just go back to what Gab was saying? And I think the differences between a megastar and a star, and he was naming the front line of Barcelona and with Suarez, with all due respect, with so many players, you know, who are stars like Suarez, they're not megastars because the megastars are the people who are known even by people who don't know anything about football. And we have four megastars in the world of football: Ronaldo, Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe. The others are stars, but they're not big, big stars. And they're able to fill up a team spirit, which I think is harder for those players, especially if they play together. For those,
yeah, was this Mbappe's last Champions League match for PSG?
I genuinely don't know. It's certainly pointing in that direction. I think he is genuinely valuing the possibility of staying at Paris Saint-Germain. But equally, you know, he's been wanting Real Madrid since he was a kid, and he had those posters of that guy Cristiano Ronaldo up in his room, you know, when he was sort of 10, 12 years old. And that's got a weigh on him. And I think when he looks around, he looks at how the club as a club are going to react. He's going to look at the fact that a year from now, Messi and Neymar will be a year older. And remember, next season there is a World Cup in the middle of it all. And he starts thinking, man, Real Madrid, you know, I have a chance to write a new chapter. I have a chance to take over from Benzema as the French emotional leader of this team. I've done so much at Paris Saint-Germain. We didn't win the big one, but maybe it is time to move on. I mean, in terms of vibe, in terms of hunch, my guess he's going to go to Real Madrid, and this is their last Champions League game. But like we said, it could still change.
Do you leave?
I do. There is a cloud hanging over PSG that is not going to be removed by Kylian Mbappe by himself. And that cloud is not going away anytime soon. Honestly, what I saw today in the last 30 minutes of the game was one of those where you just turned the page on a team and on a club and you said, nah. Until you resolve basic things that have to do with heart, soul, mentality, forget it. This team is not going to achieve the things that they think they should be achieving.
To that point then, Gab, is the project over?
I don't, like, there's a big picture answer to this, which says that, and this is what some people have been saying, that, you know, the Paris Saint-Germain project, in terms of, you know, being financed to the degree it's been financed, was all about getting Paris Saint-Germain to the World Cup, to the Qatar World Cup, and then perhaps selling it, moving it on. It'll still be a big club in a different dimension. It just won't be a club this size. Equally, you've made the commitment to Neymar. You've made the commitment to Messi. You know, they have contracts. They have big contracts. And you're going to want to honor them and put the players around them to go and win. But certainly, you have to ask questions about whether Pochettino's going to be back. You have to ask questions about a lot of players. I think you have to ask questions about Leonardo. And I say this again, after seeing Gini Wijnaldum's 45 minutes this weekend, in which, you know, he touched the ball 9 times in the first half, which is objectively difficult to do if you're playing in central midfield. I think Paris Saint-Germain have to evaluate, where are we? We're probably not going to shift Messi and Neymar unless they want to leave. Let's take the Mbappe on the chin and let's build something, maybe with younger players, maybe players with more of an upside. Let's get those worker bees around Messi and Neymar. Let's get the right manager in and let's have another go.
I promise, in a moment, Real Madrid fan, just one more point. Pochettino. Who is Pochettino?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you talk about a brand for a manager taking a
How much responsibility does he have to take from that last half hour? And how much can he actually do about what happened on the pitch and the way in which the players obviously choked?
Right. You focus on the half hour, but then you forget on the year's worth of work.
Right.
Right. See, what we saw in the half hour is only the final product of a lack of cohesion and organization and structure that we have mentioned over this last 20 minutes or so that he's responsible for. And then to see him just kind of standing there, seeing it happen and not do something about it, not react to it, not being able to feel it, to sense it, to jump ahead of the curve and say, look, this thing is shifting. We have to be able to change something. We have to shift players around. We have to take somebody off the field. We have to make the big decision. It's like, look, if Neymar is not giving you the work, you got to take him off the field. You got to have that power as a manager and saying, right now we need something different from this game. We need to change it. We need to spin it. We need to get organized. And he's just standing like this. That vision of the manager as things are getting out of control and him is just arms crossed and just letting it happen, that is a referendum on Pochettino, regardless of the individual mistakes that happen on the field.
Bonga.
I'm a massive Pochettino fan, as you know, but this isn't the Pochettino from Tottenham Hotspur. This isn't the guy that got so much out of it. And anybody who remembers those teams, they played a completely different football from this one. Those were teams that had the work ethic, they had the pressing, they obviously had less quality. It almost seems to me, and this goes back to what Frank said earlier, is that Pochettino arrived and said, I've got Neymar and Messi. I cannot ask Neymar and Messi to go and do what I used to ask Harry Kane and Hongmin Son to do, because those are different types of players. So I'm not going to be, you know, Mr. Arrogant, my tactics are going to win this. I'm going to give you the freedom. Now, if you have a superstar and you're going to give him that kind of freedom, you have to know how to do it. You have to read the moment. You have to know how to handle them. And you have to put the pieces around them and get the pieces to work. And obviously, he hasn't been able to do that. And like I said, it's not just tonight. It's really since he arrived, this has not felt like a team. And it certainly hasn't felt like a Pochettino team. I think the only people who can be happy tonight are all those people at Old Trafford who supposedly can't wait for Mauricio Pochettino to go there.
If you go to Old Trafford, obviously there's a vacant spot then at PSG. Your boy Zidane, Frank, would you want it? Do you think he'd want it?
I don't know. I just have one concern about that. He's a guy from Marseille. He has his face painted on the big wall, you know, in the big building in Marseille. If he does that, he would be betraying Marseille. So I don't know, you know. I can't even compare with somebody else. It's like Messi one day being the coach of Real Madrid. What do you think would happen? That's exactly what I want to go. And or Maldini being the coach of Paolo Maldini being the coach of Inter Milan. what people will say. So I don't know if he will do that. In a way, I would love to see that, because I want to see if him, if finally somebody can change the mentality of that squad, of that club, of that dressing room. I would love to see that. See that, but I'm not in Zidane's head. I don't know what he wants, and I'm not sure it's going to happen.
Right.
Hey.
Karim Benzema is very good.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is. And the third goal. Now, the other finishes were wonderful from Benzema, and the movement of the ball in those finishes were wonderful. The pressure on Donnarumma, whether you think it's a foul or not, but the initial pressure was there, and then the finish, second goal, finds himself in a really good position, movement of the ball, turn, finish. The third goal is just the definition of world class. As the ball comes out to him, he's already seeing where Donnarumma is. He's already anticipating where the defenders are. And he knows, in a fraction of a second, I take this with the outside of my right foot, I have a chance. If I take this with the outside of my right foot, Donnarumma cannot react in time. The defenders can't get to me. They can't close out in the space. This is a moment in which, where everybody else is moving at a certain speed, and everybody else is freaking out, Karim Benzema, calm. Calm. To be able to execute in a moment of high pressure. That is a world-class player.
He just seems to get better and better with age, Frank.
Yes, he's the only French pride of the night, I would say, today.
Yes.
The guy is absolutely fantastic. I mean, 34 years old. Remember the first leg, I said, he's not ready. I don't see the point to put him because he won't serve his team the way he should. But since then, I think he scored 3 goals in 3 games in La Liga, and tonight 3 goals. And as Ali said, the cleverness of his third goal is absolutely magical. And the guy, you know, after having served Ronaldo the best he could, he became the skipper of that team. And without him, I can tell you, Real Madrid would never be the Real Madrid we can see now.
Obviously, Gab, there's a lot of speculation. We've mentioned Kylian Mbappe. I'll go first because I wanted to switch to Luka Modric and say how on earth Real Madrid are going to replace him, because once again tonight he showed why he won the Ballon d'Or and why he is held in such high regard.
I think with Modric, what you're seeing as he gets older, and great players who get older, they know their bodies so well. They know how to pace themselves. They know exactly how many times they can sprint throughout a game and make it so that they should pick their spots for when they make it count. Very little is wasted with Modric. He's got such an eye for it. You saw it at the weekend as well, the way he linked up with Camavinga against Real Sociedad. He really is a gem. And can he be replaced? No, he can't be replaced. When he decides to hang up his boots, and I think he's going to stick around another year, it's going to have to necessarily be somebody different, somebody interpreting the position differently than he does. Because, you know, tonight he was, and not just him, but he was absolutely monumental.
How much admiration do you have for him?
Oh, I love me some Luka Modric. And the more you watch him play, the more you appreciate the little things that he does in the game and how he has such a great feel for what the team needs in that particular moment. Toni Kroos, because of whatever injury he's carrying, a hamstring, he was largely ineffective. So where was the passing going to have to come from? Well, it was going to have to come from Luka Modric. Where was the running out of the midfield going to have to come from? From Luka Modric as well. If the defending is what the team needed, then he was willing to do that. It is when you see Luka Modric, it's the full picture of what a midfielder should be. And he does so many good things for this team that perhaps go unnoticed because we're paying attention to Vinicius, because we're paying attention to Benzema, and rightfully so. This guy's in the final third, obviously put that final touch on the ball, put that final goal, that game-winning goal, those moments that we think of. But it all came from something that possibly and potentially was all introduced into the play because of Luka Modric. He sees a bigger picture than everybody else and a clearer picture than everybody else on the field, and his execution is magnificent.
Isn't it funny? When we and you were in Spain together in August, opening weekend, Benzema Bale, Hazard was the front three. Not even mentioned.
Nope.
Not even in the build-up to the game. No one's talking about Hazard or Bale. After the game, no one's saying, well, they did it without these two world-class players. That's how forgotten they are.
Yeah. Oh, they're beyond an afterthought. They're no longer part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Even today, when Real Madrid are chasing the game and they're gonna need goals. They need somebody to do something different, or they're pushing forward. You're not looking down the bench and saying, in. Hey, Hazard, come on this way. No, he's not even an option.
Yeah.
Bale, nowhere to be found. You're looking for other players. It's Rodrigo, and it's Asensio, and Modric, and Vinicius Jr., and Benzema. And the quality of Karim Benzema is just at an entirely different level than everybody else. And you add that with Modric and Vinicius, who was active throughout the course of nights. He was always dangerous. He was always forcing Hakimi back to defend, which then limited the outlet on the right-hand side from PSG. Real Madrid should be very proud of how much of a team effort this was and how much of an organized group this was. And it was very clear to see one team on the field and a bunch of guys running around on the other half.
Should we go to Mr. Negative now?
Sure, go ahead.
Frank, if you're in the quarterfinals, you were saying you want to be drawn with Real Madrid.
Again, can you say that again? If I want to play against Real Madrid?
Yes.
In the quarterfinal?
Yes.
Well, in a way, no, because you know, with the history of the club, you always say that it will be easy to beat them, but they always manage to do well. So you have to, you have to respect them. They won it 13 times. They're absolutely fantastic club. But you know, I don't know. It would have been another team that Paris Saint-Germain today. I think they would have been out of the competition with what they showed for 90 minutes away from home and 60 minutes at home. Now, a question mark. I don't know why Rodrigo didn't play comparing to Asensio. I think he changed the game as well.
Frank's almost losing his voice.
It's very emotional.
It's like Craig Burley's dream.
Yeah, I've got a flu. Yeah.
Okay, obviously, much more discussion on what happened in the Champions League. My goodness me, what a Gab and Jules podcast
it's
going to be. There's going to be tears.
Oh, my Jules.
Wow, imagine Jules.
Oh, Jules.
How
I'm so
sad.
Sorry.
He's normally so happy as well.
He's not going to be happy now.
No, he's not. Be sure to check that out. Gosh, it's going to be a must listen to, isn't it? Over on the website. Well, just a reminder, La Liga then continues this weekend. Athletic against Cadiz kicks things off. And then look at Sunday, you've got Barcelona against Osasuna. Real Madrid have a little bit of a break just to calm down from the celebrations. They take on struggling Mallorca on Monday. All of those games, as they are throughout the season, available on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. There was another game today in the Champions League, not quite as exciting. This one was done, of course, after the first leg. City winning 5-0 in Portugal. It was goalless. The Etihad, Pep Guardiola's side, then safely through to the next round. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. Shaka Hislop is back from holiday.
Oh,
and we'll also be joined by bragging Steve Nicol.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, let's just take a look at how the bracket sets up then. Meanwhile, it's Pumas against the Revs, Montreal against Cruz Azul. Those remaining first legs to be played. Meanwhile, let's welcome in Sebastian Salazar, shall we? Seb, of course, has been covering at length those horrific scenes we saw in Liga MX at the weekend between Querétaro and Atlas. Seb, for the first time, we've heard properly, haven't we, what punishment these clubs will be facing.
Yeah, Dan, you remember on Saturday night, Miguel Arriola, the president of the Mexican League, came out and said that the supporters groups, the so-called barras, would not be allowed to travel to away games anymore. Well, on Tuesday, we found out more sanctions handed down. The Querétaro supporters group is going to be banned for 3 years. Atlas Barra is going to be banned for the next 6 months. Querétaro's ownership, they're going to lose the team. They're going to be banned for 5 years from all Liga MX activities. They're going to get a cash fine, and they're going to lose even more money because Querétaro is going to have to play with no fans for the next year. The Gallos Blancos are also going to have to forfeit that game against Atlas. It'll go in the books as a 3-0 defeat in league play. And then finally, anybody involved in the incident is going to get a lifetime ban from all Mexican football stadiums. So all that decided at the emergency meeting, Dan, between the Liga MX owners on Tuesday.
Is that sufficient for you, Seb?
No, it's weak. It's terribly weak. It's weak for me, Dan, on two fronts. One is the precedent that it doesn't set. What happened Saturday night can never happen again. And if it does, it might be the end of Mexican soccer as we know it. And so, but for lack of a better term, you kind of had to go with the nuclear option. You really had to make it a deterrent, the punishment here. And letting Gallos Blancos, forget about they're going to continue to exist. They're going to play this season almost as if nothing has happened, Dan. That's not enough of a deterrent for me to make sure that we will never see this again. The other place that it's very weak for me is with the Barras. I thought that the Barras would be banned entirely. And here's why. There's a conversation happening right now in Mexico where people are asking if organized crime has infiltrated these barras, and if that, Dan, is why we're seeing the violence that we saw on Saturday. And you understand why people are asking it, because it's the style of violence that we saw in the stadium for this game between Querétaro and Atlas is very reminiscent of the style of violence that you see from organized crime in Mexico. And so until those questions are answered and answered with the affirmative that no, in fact, you know, these barras have not been infiltrated by organized crime, I don't know how you can go on continuing to have them in stadiums. So I think it's been very, very weak leadership at a moment when Mexican football and specifically Liga MX needs strong leadership.
Yeah, what else are those around Mexico football saying about this, Sam?
Yeah, I think they're getting a lot of criticism right now, Liga MX, from the press, but also, Dan, from the fans. You guys will obviously remember the homophobic chant that's caused a lot of problems for Mexican soccer in the past. Right now, there's kind of like a pseudo movement online of fans who are upset with this decision, who are threatening to use that chant in either upcoming Liga MX games or when the Mexican national team returns for World Cup qualifiers as a way to get back at the federation and the people involved for not maybe handing down a significant enough punishment. John De Luisa, the president of the Mexican Federation, has come out in the last few days and said, okay, if you want to do that, I dare you. We'll ban you from stadiums for life. So there's a lot of tension right now in Mexico between the people who govern the game and the people who love it. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail. The one thing I would say that's maybe a hopeful sign is that there's a Clásico Nacional, Chivas America, huge rivalry game coming up on Saturday. Obviously, America's fans, the Barras, will not be able to travel to this because of the new rules. But Chivas has taken the extra step. They're not going to let their Barra go into the stadium in kind of that unified group. So we're going to have a Clásico Nacional without the Barras and maybe a first step towards Mexican football without the violence.
Sebastian Salazar, as always, thank you very much. More from Seb and Herc, of course, on Football Americas, which drops tomorrow. In case you missed Monday's episode, be sure to check that out. They did a brilliant, brilliant show covering everything that happened this weekend.
you know, less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike. Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Full program Bundesliga matches on Saturday. It starts off with the league leaders, Bayern Munich, away against Hoffenheim. And then on Sunday, everything's a little bit later because the clocks do something. Well, they spring forward, don't they, in America?
Yes, correct.
But they don't change in Germany. Therefore, of course, there's a bigger... The games are later, okay. All right? So that's all you need to know.
You did very well explaining it.
Yeah, I know. That was clear, wasn't it? Borussia Dortmund against Bielefeld, the big game on Sunday. Meanwhile, we saw two Europa League matches on Wednesday. Porto losing at home against Lyon. Meanwhile, been a bad week, hasn't it, for Real Betis as they lost at home against Eintracht Frankfurt. The six remaining matches take place on Thursday, which include Atalanta by Leverkusen, Sevilla against West Ham, and Barcelona against Galatasaray. I quite like saying Galatasaray.
Okay, say it again.
It's quite a fun...
Yeah, go with it.
Quite a Galatasaray.
Okay. Excellent.
Borussia Mönchengladbach. Still my favourite, though, in case you're wondering.
In the rankings?
Yes, right, what's going on?
Is Galatasaray second?
Yes, my pronunciation power right there. Okay. Right, nonsense. Stops now. Well, it doesn't, because extra time's next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. Gab Marcotti's with us. Frank, how is your voice? It was going during the show. Are you struggling? Was this from shouting at PSG?
No. I've got a tracheitis, is what you say in English, I think. And my main concern is tomorrow evening I'm going to be on stage. So I really have to be careful. So I took some stuff, right? You see, it's getting better now. So it's okay.
It's all right. I won't ask you too many questions, Frank.
Okay.
Tell us exactly during the World Cup final, Frank. Just talk us through the day from the moment you woke up.
How long do you have?
No, Stevie. I know a lot of people wanted to see Stevie today after his rant yesterday that PSG weren't going to win because they were going to bottle it somehow. I tried to argue that maybe they wouldn't. Uh-huh. I was completely wrong. Stevie was completely right. And fear not, he has phoned me to make sure that I know that was exactly the right answer. He's loving it, by the way.
He's just having a good time.
He's having a very good time. He's in New York. Imagine Stevie in New York on his own.
By himself.
Oh, my God. Right. Why is it that very talented teams with a lesser European history, PSG, Manchester City, can't get over the Champions League hump, but teams like Real Madrid and Liverpool are able to? Is it all mental?
Well, it's part of it. Yes. You cannot deny that history. When you walk into a club, like Real Madrid or Liverpool, and in the case of Real Madrid in particular, because it's important today, you walk into the club and you see the trophies and you see the expectation and you see history around you and you know what the conversation is all about every time that you walk into the training facility. It generates a level of performance that is demanded from you as a player to be able to match that history. Manchester City, or PSG, they're trying to find that history. Mm. They're trying to match that level of expectation. We expect them to do really well because of all the money that they invested in the players that they have available and the coaches and this and that and the other. But they do not yet have the history of success, certainly not in Champions League.
What do you think, Frank?
I totally agree. And don't forget that all of Champions League team or big teams who've been for the first time in a Champions League final lost their first final. So there is a mojo, in fact, who comes up, you know, with the history of the club. And,
I suppose, Frank, people would point to your old side, Chelsea. Not exactly a big European history there. They win the Champions League. Yeah. They had a big injection of money.
Yeah, but they lost their first one. They lost their first Champions League final against Manchester United, I think, on penalties. But the second one, they won it, and they got another one last season. So you grow up like that, and you get used to it. And as you say, as soon as you sign for the club as a player, and I think it's for Real Madrid, the first time you come to Real Madrid, they show you all the trophies to really understand where you put your feet on. That's what it is. And I think for big clubs like that, like Bayern Munich, like Liverpool, like Chelsea, like, of course, Real Madrid, Barcelona, they show you that. And that's what lacks maybe in Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain because of the history of those clubs.
Just as important, the history of success that we're talking about for Real Madrid, there's also a history of failure for PSG. So it is just as important, the fact that if you're Real Madrid, you know how to win the competition because you've been there before. If you're PSG, you know how to lose the competition because you've been there before. And that is difficult to get rid of.
So, Gab, how great is Ancelotti? Here we go.
Oh,
it's Gab's favorite subject.
Uh-huh. Go on.
He's only human. He has his failings. But I think what's pretty evident is he's an exceptional man manager. You speak to just about every single player who's ever played for him. And they will tell you that. And he certainly has tons of experience at big clubs, at difficult clubs, with demanding owners. And I think he's also shown that, you know, when it comes to tactical setups, he can beat you in many, many different ways. You know, earlier this year, they were criticizing him, oh, too much counterattack, you know, too much give the ball to Vinicius and use his pace and Benzema and whatever. So then what does he do? He whips out the press and they play a high line. And he can beat you that way because he's done it before. He's been around a long time. This is a guy who was a child of Arrigo Sacchi, pressing all over the pitch, Bielsa before Bielsa. He was a guy who believed in rigid systems and formations to the point that, you know, he didn't want Roberto Baggio in his team because, you know, he was a superstar that didn't fit the scheme. And then when he had Zola, he made Zola play as a winger, and then because Zola didn't track back enough, he got rid of him. This is Ancelotti's history. And he himself says that he's moved on from that. And now I think there's few managers who see the game in its entirety, in its complexity, 360 degrees. The way he does. And I think that's what makes him a very, very good manager. Is he the best in the world? Maybe not. But, you know, in those games, he knows what he's doing.
I know there's lots of other questions, Eric, that you want, but Gab's taking everyone's time. So we'll move on to the next one.
Sorry.
Which was inevitable.
That was the question
for you.
Exactly. Know your audience, Eric. Is Messi still favourite to win Ballon d'Or this year despite this loss?
What?
Do you know what really... I know Twitter's not real, and I know YouTube comments aren't real, but I don't get this from some fans who are absolutely reveling in the fact that Messi isn't as good as he used to be.
Right.
As if it's some sort of evidence that they were right all along, that, oh, Cristiano Ronaldo was better, or Messi was overrated, or he just took penalties, or he just did that, or just was in a good Barcelona side. I don't get how you can be a fan of this sport and want to put one of the greatest players that's ever played it down. I don't know what you gain from it. Right. It's very, very strange.
Well, and I will go as far as to say it's actually painful to see these players now regress to normal and to see them becoming human, to see Cristiano Ronaldo getting injured, to see Lionel Messi having to drop back and be more of a possession sort of guy as he was, as great as he was today for 60 minutes and actually being a possession sort of guy, that is not what we expect from Lionel Messi. So in some ways, what we're seeing is becoming indeed the end of a chapter.
But it was always going to happen.
It was going to happen, but people, see, you're hoping that people out there are reasonable.
No, and it's the minority. But I don't get it. How can you be a football fan and not enjoy watching Messi or Ronaldo? Go on, Frank.
I think people don't want to hear that. They so much put those players on pedestal that they don't want to hear other people saying that they're regressing, as Ali said. I talked about Ronaldo last week, saying that you sometimes have to think about retirement. It's part of your career to retire the right time, you know? You're going to put people's going to be going to regret you instead of have pity for you. And I said that, and I've been insulted by fans of Ronaldo because they were saying, and some stupid media titled that I was killing Ronaldo, where I just said that I'm an admirer of Ronaldo and I just want him to stop at the right time because I want him to stay up there where I think he believes he deserves to be, not there like a normal player. That's the only thing I said. And it's the same for Messi. It's going to be the same for Neymar or for Mbappe. You have to know where to stop. Because you've been exceptional, and you have to stay there.
Go on, Gap.
A very wise football person once told me that with these great players, when they get older, it's a little bit like when Hollywood divas get older. Some people can only kind of be the sexy bombshell diva, and then beyond a certain age, they're done. Others can age gracefully as they get older, play different roles, project themselves differently, and still be superstars. And, you know, and I think that's a transition that all these great players go through. I think of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I was just reading his book about how he sees himself now in the team and what he does for the team. And it's different to what he did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Because it has to be different, because his body is older, but his mind is still there, the technical ability is still there. And so you ask yourself, how can I help the team? How can I still be a difference maker? And I think both Messi and Ronaldo can still be difference makers for several seasons. If they're in the right team, if they're willing to put the team first in a different way than the way they did before. But it's not easy to do, and not everybody can do it. Doesn't make them any less of the superstars they are now. But if you want to keep playing, you know, beyond a certain age, I think that's what you need to do.
Frank, do you think Pochettino should have subbed off either Messi or Neymar for the second half and brought on a player who would actually help out in defence?
It's funny because it was a question during the game from a French commentator, and the guy was saying, do you think Pochettino would have the guts of putting one of the three out? He didn't. I think he should have, because, well, he puts a midfield player out and put Di Maria, who got injured like 5 minutes after, and then they play at 10 the last 5 minutes of the game, and he put Draxler in and in fact doesn't want to touch the three players. And it's what we were talking about, those megastar, where you cannot handle anything with them because you cannot say anything to them. And Pochettino is not legitimate to say something to either Neymar or Messi. He was only the coach of Tottenham or Spurs, and it's not enough to say something to those players.
Do you think Mbappe signed his Real Madrid contract before or after he hit the showers?
Well, you know, it's a perfect day for Real Madrid fan, right? Because you go, you win, you come back, you make this, you make the sort of comeback that you have made late in the game, last 30 minutes of the match. But you also got to see what Kylian Mbappe can be for you over the two legs.
Yeah.
You also got to see firsthand, like, good Lord, this guy's going to play for us.
That goal that he scored that got chalked off for the offside.
Yeah, the one that he was offside, a little step over, and Thibaut Courtois just kind of flew by.
And Carvajal, rugby tackle, pretty bad job.
I have a question, Ali. Ali, if you put Mbappe with Real Madrid alongside Benzema, where do you put Vinicius Junior? Because I think they play almost the same position, and Mbappe is going to play on the left side.
Vinicius Junior will have to go to the right.
Right.
The one that's moving is Vinicius. Benzema's not going anywhere, and Mbappe will take the left-hand side. And I have to imagine that Vinicius Junior would love the opportunity to get used to the right-hand side. I mean, playing that front three would be something special. You would have to imagine that Vinicius Junior will have to be the flexible one. Everybody else, we know where they're going.
Ali, has Messi been the worst signing of the season? He is the highest wage, the performance is very mediocre, and he missed the penalty in the first leg, which in hindsight cost PSG elimination from the Champions League.
I think he touched the ball more than seven times in this game, so I'm going to say Lukaku probably takes that.
Right.
Still. I'm going to go...
But Chelsea won the Club World Cup because of...
Lukaku. Well, now
what's Messi won in PSG?
Now that you made that argument, then
there you
of
go.
Course. We have to be very careful that with Lionel Messi, we go in the direction of this is the worst, the worst, the worst, the worst. Because actually, there were moments today in the game in which he looked so comfortable on the ball. And in the moments of pressure, he was able to keep possession. When Real Madrid were initially pressuring PSG, he was the outlet and he was the one that actually completing passes and looked so good dropping deep to find the ball and being that natural outlet that PSG needed. And then he disappeared.
Sure.
And you saw the difference.
You know, mate. Maybe the worst signing is maybe Wijnaldum, because the guy was so important for Liverpool last season and signed for Paris Saint-Germain and completely disappeared. And Gab was mentioning during the show that he touched the ball first half nine times, you know, being in the middle of the park. I don't recognize the player that I saw playing so well for the Netherlands and playing so well for Liverpool. I don't know what happened to that guy. That's a real question mark. That's for me the worst signing, because it completely disappeared.
Final question. Maybe you guys would be better at Champions League predictions if you ate more shepherd's pie. Although, we have to tip our hat to Gab, who not only said Real Madrid would advance, but he said it would be 3-1 on the night. So, Gab, you don't need shepherd's pie for that.
Well done.
That was forensic and scientific analysis that led me to it, Dan.
Let me
assure you.
Sure.
I think you said I don't really have a big feeling about this, but I reckon this is what might happen. That's it, guys. Thank you very much, Frank. Rest your voice.
Oh, please.
Oh, Mrs. LaBeouf is going to be the happiest woman in the world.
What a
24 hours of quiet and peace. And no Frank blabbering.
She's going to be dancing. She's going to be dancing, yeah.
Well, if that's what you call dancing, Frank, we'll keep it at that. Just a reminder then, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Europa League.
Hey!
Tomorrow, Barcelona in action, as well as a number of other big clubs in Europe. Be sure to join us. Are you with me? Sorry?
I don't think so.
Oh, it'll be Stevie.
Oh, no. He won't remind you. He'll be all right. You'll be okay.